Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Welcome everyone. I invite you to ask yourself a few questions before you start paying attention. The first question is to ask yourself, or to notice where you are. Just notice your surroundings, where you are in space, and how that feels for you. The second noticing that you will do is that you will notice what you're doing at this time from the inside. Are you questioning? Are you trying to relax? Are you practicing posture? Are you trying to learn something? Are you trying to understand? Are you checking me out? Just notice what your internal activity is and also your external activity. And thirdly, become curious and wonder who it is that's sitting inside you, that's here today, that has been with you all of your life. That's just so that you can settle in. I'm gonna try to move the screen around a bit here. The other thing is that, as our host has already said, if you wanna come, if you wanna be seen, if I see you and we interact, the quality of our connection is going to be stronger, more powerful, and more real time. All of the work that I do follows the rhythms of nature, and the rhythms of nature involves absolute pure deep connection. Dogs do it with each other, trees do it with each other, stars and planets are all very aware of where each other is in space. Their senses are open and they respond in real time. The only creatures that I know that don't respond in real time, that aren't natural and can easily disassociate, unfortunately, are human beings. And that means you and I. And that's a journey that hopefully we're all gonna make, and we're gonna get out of this situation where we disconnect from three major relationships: from ourself, and that means from the consciousness that's inside us, we lose touch with it. From our bodies, we don't sense our bodies, and we're not living fully in our bodies, feeling every cell and every organ and every fluid rhythm that flows with inside our bodies. That's the first relationship that we lose. And when we lose that connection with ourselves, we lose the connection with everything else. In the same way that if you lose connection with your feet, you will be constantly unbalanced physically, emotionally, and psychologically. The second relationship that we struggle with daily, we wrestle with, we date, we relate, we get married, we have children, we divorce, and we die. This is in the human area. The second relationship that we have problems with, when we disassociate, when we're not here, when we're not at home, when we're not right there in front of the person that we love, showing up, taking what they give us, and sending back an appropriate response, not from the mind, but from our inner nature. That's the second relationship that gets messed up when we're not aware and present. And when our natural responses get gobbled up by a program that runs riot inside us, that just steals our best energy, our awareness, and our sense of purpose, cutting us off at the feet, disabling us, paralyzing us, and turning us into robots who are responding in ways that we don't want to respond that way, but we find ourselves doing it. And the third relationship that we can easily see as messed up and may be the destruction of the human race, if the first problem doesn't destroy us, if the second area of relationship doesn't destroy us, it's our relationship with the environment. Our relationship with the environment typically is unaware, disrespectful, disconnected. We're not moving with the rhythms of the nature of our planet, of the seasons. We don't know what various green things are for. They're just green things. And you buy them at the supermarket and you stick them in the fridge until they go brown and then you chuck them away. We don't understand how to move with the rhythm of the sun and the moon, the stars and the planets. We don't understand about the importance of fresh water, clean air, moving in forests and swimming in natural water sources. Instead, we find ourselves in swimming pools where we catch diseases that are heavily chlorinated. We've lost touch. And all of these things and this kind of education and conditioning that we go through that normalizes these dysfunctional relationships, again, with ourselves, with others, and with our environment, this is messing us up. And we have been educated and conditioned into this way of life. The question is, what is the way out? How are we on earth are we going to resolve it? Where do you go? Where are your role models? Where are your examples? Where are your leaders, your politicians, your priests? Are they showing you a way to live? Generally, they're not. Even the highest spiritual authorities in the world, gurus, popes, priests, they're not people who have put themselves into these three relationships, with self, with others, and with the environment. And another thing that's missing in spirituality, because I was a spiritual seeker for about 25 years, and I, of course, prostrated myself in front of gurus and sometimes in front of their effigies. I meditated for long hours every day and every weekend. I did all kinds of movement and standing practices. I followed teachings from books and from courses and went on long intensives. And nowhere did I find that spiritual teachers or anyone that was interested in transformation and self-development had a complete system. And here I don't like the word system, but what I mean is an all-encompassing lifestyle. And I would say that an all-encompassing natural lifestyle has to have five elements. Conveniently, because I don't think I can count or hold more than that in my mind at the same time. The first element is something mysterious. It's a guiding intelligence. It's, you might call it instinct, you might call it nature, you might call it design, some divine plan, but it's a guiding intelligence. It's what you experience in those moments when you just know what to do. And something inside you says, you've been doing it wrong. You have to pivot, change direction, recommit yourself, and leave behind everything that you thought was correct and true, and other people have been pressing and pushing you to follow. You have to go out into the wilderness and leave your conditioning behind. That mysterious intelligence that is energetic, that is loving, that is fully supportive, that is working with us in real time, all of the time, that keeps the planets moving in the sky, that makes sure that atoms don't just collapse like balloons that have been burst. It's what makes us continue as a species, even though we don't understand why we continue as a species. We just keep doing it. That guiding intelligence, I call the enlightenment transmission. That's a very pithy word. That's a word that it's not a very commonly used word, but it's a term that I have been, it's a phenomena, a set of phenomena that I have been observing for 20 years now. The second aspect to any spiritual teaching is a no-brainer. Basically, it means there's a teaching, but I would say a fixed, non-moving, non-organic, non-responsive, non-real-time teaching is not going to work. That you are a real-time, living, organic being. The world is moving all of the time. Nature is moving. You're never the same from one moment to the next. What you need, and the course corrections or getting back on your divine trajectory, what you need is real time input. In the same way that if you're rowing a boat and you're not very experienced, then you can't see where you're going and you happen to be veering off of course because you're rowing backwards, you need someone to spot you and to say, you're not heading to the pier, you're heading into the rocks. You need guidance. That's why you have two eyeballs and not one. The second area that is often missing, whereas the second area teaching is, it's what people claim to give you, but often they're giving you an interpretation of an interpretation. They haven't mastered life. The third area that is not in many spiritual teachings these days is a form of energy work. Now, it used to be there. People used to move in certain spiritual traditions. You have it in yoga. In yoga, they say you have to start by cleaning your channels. You have it in Chinese systems in the form of Qigong, and that Qigong was given to the monks that were meditating in China because they were becoming sluggish and they were falling asleep and they were studying scriptures, but they had no life in their body and no sense of their body. And there we can use the word embodiment. So you need a system where you can go into your body and disconnect blockages, dissolve problem areas where basically your conditioning has accumulated like the sand off of the Nile River dropping into the Delta. You have these accumulations that come from conditioning, trauma, confusion, stress, and chaotic environments, and many other things. Basically, if you go into your body on a journey as if your body was full of little capillaries or a motorway system, if you go from the top of your head down to your toes and into the ground, you will find roadblocks, terror alerts, random chaos, as well as occasionally you may find some fun inside your body. And that's why you go there. But it's often a mixture for people. So an energy work system is to give you back your body. It's to make you aware. It's to give you energy, and it will give you a sense what my body is for. Because the way that most people are using their bodies is really a perversion of nature. Is a body a place to chuck junk food in? Is a body a place to view junk TV programming and just absorb anything that appears in the one-eye monster called the TV? Is a human body a sex machine or a celibate machine or a baby-making machine or someone to work in the factories? Is that what the human body's for, to go by clock time? Or is the human body something that came out of our oceans, dropped down from the trees, that lived in our forests and worked with the nature? Is that what our bodies is? Because we're very far from that now that we live in six walled boxes with electrical wiring going around it, wired to TVs, talking over the internet, working according to the clock. We're very far from a natural lifestyle. And that's actually the fourth point. Natural lifestyle, lifestyle guidance and advice. Various spiritual traditions and religions, you'll get some questionable lifestyle advice if you get any clear lifestyle advice. And the fifth area that makes us really human beings, the fifth area that really makes sense of what it is to be alive, the fifth area that is the area that really enlivens us, makes us fully enjoy life, switch on, change, transform, and develop. That area is giving, relating, interacting in a way that supports others. Because when we don't find any gold, any preciousness, something useful inside ourselves, not something we artificially manufacture, not remembering some joke list from a book and then saying to people, hey, do you want to hear a joke? Not learning something from some spiritual book like the sound of one hand clapping and saying, hey, do you want to know a Zen koan? It's really cool. Not learning something in the head and then going to people and saying, look, I know something, but really knowing what you know. And my advice is, don't learn something from a book. First of all, go into your own well. Drop your bucket down deep to your feet and bring up that precious elixir of life. Assess its qualities. And then the next thing that we have to do, which is why I said to my host today, I want to see the audience here. Because the way the Zoom is at the moment is that I can't see all of you. I can't validate and verify what you want and how this is going on. I can feel that you're out there, but I want to see you. And I want you to know that I see you too. I don't want this to be a remote process, and I don't want this to be an intellectual process, and I don't want to do all this through texting. I want this to be as real and natural as possible. And I forgot the point I was going to make now. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to stick on the point of connection, because I realized as I was going to sleep just a few hours ago last night, preparing for this conference, I realized that as I was going to sleep, that the primary theme of today's meeting would be about connection. Because it's by connection that we evolve, we change, we develop, we heal. This is the Marshall and Healing Arts channel. We beat you up, then we fix you. It's better than being fixed and then beaten up. That's all I can say. Anyway, so the connections that we have, we help one another. It's the concept of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'll scratch yours before you even scratch my back. That's the martial part, by the way. Okay. Well, unless you're in the throes of some intimate congress. But anyway, but jokes aside, I must put the jokes aside. It's a bad, bad habit. Now, spiritual teacher, I have to leave all that stand-up comedy behind. The other thing is that if you look at, as an example, if you look at a, I don't know what they're called, and it doesn't really matter what they're called, they're just a bunch of monkeys, right? A tribe of chimpanzees or a pack of chimpanzees. I don't really know what to call them. And if you look at a tribe of chimpanzees, they will help each other out by picking the fleas off of one another. Yeah, they will take a flea, like a Rice Krispie, snap, crackle and pop, or pumpkin seed in some countries. So they like to eat pumpkin seeds endlessly. Stick it between their teeth and pop the flea. It's good for the one who's having the attention. I mean, imagine that, having someone just picking through your fur. It must be very pleasurable. It's good for getting rid of fleas, and the chimpanzee gets a vital source of protein. It's good for everyone. And we can have beneficial, positive interactions that are going to raise us. They're going to raise, again, I'll come back to these three things. They're going to raise our energy. How do you know whether you've done useful work with someone or had a good interaction with them? You know it because both of your energies raise together. If one of you feels, I'm not going to use a rude word, wrecked. If one of you feels wrecked and the other person just feels pumped up from the energy of the interaction, that's not a mutually beneficial interaction. Every interaction that you have with others and in the three areas, with yourself, with others, and the environment, should be for the good of all and the good of yourself. If it's not for the good of yourself, something's wrong. And that often goes back to conditioning and programming. You have been trained to not look after yourself. I have to move all this chat. It's quite busy down there in the chat. Quite ecumenical.
Dave, you can continue. We're monitoring the chat.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just going to move it out the way. I'm being proselytized.
Would you like, there was a question in the poll on what people would like to have out of this session.
Oh, yes.
That live.
Yeah. Where does the poll come from? Where is it?
Well, we haven't shown it yet.
Oh, okay.
So I think maybe one of the poll questions was, what would people like to see in this session? So if you will have a, yeah, there it is.
There it is, it's all in one. Should I just go quiet for a moment while I could come back in a minute and while people fill it out? Yeah, should we just take 2 minutes?
That would work.
Okay, 2 minutes, 2 minutes of deep reflection, shaking your body, hydration, and pole dancing. Okay, I'll be back in a second. Okay, right. How's the how's the poll? How do we get the results? Oh, right, there they are. Okay. Right. For 50% of you, it's morning. Because you can see maybe yourself. For 12%, 26% is your night time. Wow, okay. How many speakers have you watched? 30% zero, 40% 1 to 3, more than 10, 14%. I guess you never sleep, maybe. Let me know. You can respond in the chat box. I'm just deliberately looking for information. I'm fishing for marketing purposes, not really. Okay, right. What are you mostly interested in? 76% enlightenment. Okay, right. Well, I know where to go with this then. Stress release, lifestyle advice, heightened awareness, more energy, greater sense of purpose. If there's anything on there that isn't covered by this questionnaire, anything you want to say about how you feel, about what you want. Oh, I just noticed someone said their question is from Julia, why are we here? That's a good question. That just popped out. So I'm not going to answer that question, first of all, because you can't trust me. I'm from East London. You can't trust anyone from East London. I mean, 55% of them are in jail at any one time. It's like a holiday camp. Anyway, so it's called doing porridge because it's the best breakfast they've had in a long time. But aside from that, I run retreats every year on an island, 7-day residential retreats on an island in the Sea of Finland. And I often start the retreat with, you're all here to figure out why you came here. Because I don't take responsibility for someone turning up to see me. I don't fall for that trick, right? My girlfriend sent me, my angel card sent me. I don't know why I'm here, you tell me. I don't fall for that. The thing is that you have a guiding intelligence, and like the salmon that swim upstream, I invite you to send your awareness upstream and find out what's moving you through this three-dimensional reality. What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you sign up for this event? Yeah. What makes you interact with me or not interact with me? And by the way, I'm having an after set. I'm having an after party, backstage VIP thing. We'll post that at the end. If anyone's having any crisis or if anyone's having fits of laughter, we want you to come to the event afterwards and we're going to tickle you. And actually, I had this idea that if the top spiritual teachers in the world got together, you know, all the New York Times bestsellers, apparently they're the best guys, the ones that have a book and are on the New York Times bestsellers. I was going to have them up on stage. I'm not going to mention any names here, you know, legal issues. But I was going to have them all up on stage and have a tickle competition. I'll be up there as well. I'll lift my arms up, tickle my ribs, my armpits, anywhere you like, except for no inappropriate touching. And I mean, you know, we're all body workers here, ethics. And we will see who breaks. Right? Because being able to control your body, being able to relax is really a sign of spiritual mastery. Anyway, let's see if there's any more questions and then I'll get into something important that I have to say. Is enlightenment constantly attained or does it have to be maintained? Nope, it's like my haircut, low maintenance. I get up in the morning, I do that, and it's just there all the time. So enlightenment doesn't have to be maintained. Basically, if you have to maintain something, it's conditioning, right? I was thinking about this in the early hours of the morning as I was trying to get some rest on my memory foam pillow. Don't get a memory foam pillow. I'm chucking that away, right? Anyway, so I was thinking that training and conditioning, breathing practices, physical practices, lots of embodiment type practices, they're all very good for handling your autonomic nervous system, your fight, your flight, your freeze, your feign, your fake, your fool around, your fall over, your fuck it up, right? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Take that out of the recording, right? But basically, all of those reactions that you have, I'm glad you're laughing, Martin, right? Anyway, right? All of those reactions that you have, you can train them out of yourself. But nonetheless, when you train yourself, you are just a performing monkey, right? And that's not an abusive term to monkeys. That's an abusive term to performers. But no, it's not really an abusive term to anybody. All it means is that when you're doing a performance, you're not being yourself. Yeah? We wouldn't pay actors to be actors unless they had a skill, which is called faking it. Right? In real life, you'll notice when actors have interviews, they look like they're not faking it. I can't say that whether they're faking it or not for sure, but they seem very different than how they are in the movies or how they are on stage. The thing is that most of us in any situation and in any interaction are thinking, can I be my real self? No, we're not normally thinking that. We're normally thinking, I won't be my real self. I'm going to fake it. I want people to like me. And I know what people want, or I think I know what they want, because I read Cosmopolitan magazine when I was at the doctor's having my COVID-19 test. I wouldn't touch anything at the doctor's for any of these days. But anyway, but so the thing is that we think, and when I was coming here, I'm like thinking, okay, right, it's an embodiment conference. Like, how am I going to talk my old professional background, which is in cognitive science, which is cognitive psychology, artificial intelligence, philosophy of mind, and psycholinguistics. As I thought, you know, am I going to get all technical? But the thing is that, fortunately, now that we've done the poll, I can see that you're all into enlightenment. And enlightenment has nothing to do with knowledge, not book learning knowledge. And all of the knowledge that we can really and truly receive is in real time. It's through our senses. It's not through our brains, right? Look at this, look, it's not much space up here, right? Compared to the rest of my body. That's my token movement for the talk. Okay, right. It's in the rest of my body. My body is my mind, from the tips of the hair on my head. Don't believe that it's dead cells, okay, right? Still feel stuff through the hair on your head. Try it now. This is my token interaction. Go on, lift your hair up. I'm going to get in trouble if you don't interact, okay? You have to be interactive today. It's a promise, right? Lift your hair up and you can feel all kinds of things. Move it this way. That's very nice, Susie. You're doing a great job there. Right. Anyway, move it this way, move it that way. You can feel something. I can feel it go all the way through my cheeks. I feel it in my legs. I feel it down in my toes. So don't believe this thing that it's dead cells and it's unimportant. Hair is very nice, right? I like to touch hair, especially like my dog. He's got lots of hair. Anyway, so anyway, what was my point? Oh, yeah. So the whole of your body is your mind, your memory. It's a mental factory, your body, if you let it be like that. If you let your body be the toxic dumping ground of your mind, if your bad memories, heavy emotions, and traumas get locked inside your body, and if you don't clean them out, I'm thinking for some reason of cleaning the chimney before Santa Claus comes down. I live here in Finland, so we have to support Santa Claus a week before Christmas, just like I had to be supported a week before being invited to this conference. needed a lot of support. Anyway, so could you see I've been given plants here to help me out. I mean, my regular participants here, they're well impressed with the background, I can tell. Not so impressed with me, but they like the background. They criticize me all the time. So this is the difference, okay? The thing is that if you're a guru, normally no one's going to be able to criticize you, and you can bugger who you want. I mean, look, I've been around the spiritual scene for 25 years. I can tell you some stories that will make your hair curl, go gray, and then fall out en masse. Oh, it's happened to some of you, but maybe you were a victim. Anyway, I've had the inside of my thigh squeezed by a famous American guru when I was in my early 20s. He's dead now. Nothing to do with me. All right, anyway, so, well, you think that's funny, do you? Right, anyway, so this is my Interaction Light Entertainment part. Now I'm going to get into some serious stuff. Okay, you ready for some serious stuff? So my point of view is that your identity, and I don't mean like what you choose to identify with, myself, I'm a dog. But anyway, I mean, I've decided human beings are no good, I'm a dog. But anyway, so, but, your identity, which is when you wake up in the morning and you go like, yes, Dave, what do you want, Dave? Yes, Master Dave. Yes, I will go to the toilet. Yes, I will brush my teeth. Yes, I will put my tie on with a very tight knot, and I will look good, and I will go to work. Yes, Dave, I'm going to work now. And you see all these drones going to work, wearing the same suits, talking the same corporate language, and giving the same icebreakers. Right, it's a corporate world, and that's absorbed into something that has been pre-arranged for you, like slotting a microchip into the 64 legs of a square microchip into the motherboard. You're set up, you're wired from a young age to assume identities, and then you want to become someone. And you keep working on that someone, you keep crafting that someone, and you look for help making that someone better, but you're becoming more and more disassociated from yourself. You're becoming more and more unhappy because the identity that you're following slavishly, the internal program, is fragmentation. You've heard of fragmented personalities and identities, multiple personalities, disassociated identity disorders, and the Diddy men, which, unless you're from England, you won't know what the Diddy men are, but you can look it up on Wikipedia. I can see the English people are laughing. Glad you appreciate my jokes. I'm sure you don't appreciate anything else, but I'm saying it's really serious now. But anyway, that's the, I when I teach, I have something for everyone, okay? I aim low and I aim extremely high. Anyway, so the identity is a disassociation. It is a fragmentation, and it's such a hallucination that when you wake up in the morning, you don't really feel your body unless you're in it. When you relate to other people, you don't really see and feel what's in front of you. Do you know that human beings are 90% water, like lettuces? Or is it lettuce? Anyway, I'm not really sure, but that's intellectual stuff, right? They're 90% water. That means that when we're interacting with each other, we should be looking at the water wobbling in my cheeks, in my eyeballs. You should see the dilation and the pulsing. You should see my heart beating in my jugular vein, on the carotid artery, on the side of my neck. You should be feeling the percussion moving through the air from my organs. We're water, that's how we really connect. But have you ever done that before, sir or madam? No, I bet you haven't. You're nodding your head like you know what I'm talking about, but you have no clue. Yeah, you, Kevin.
question.
That's very good, Kevin. Glad to see it. Right.
Dave, you have just giving you a heads up.
Thank you.
15 minutes before end of session. So in case you want to do questions or you want to have five more minutes, both are fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Raima. Right. So basically, your identity is inside your body. It's like chicken wire wrapped around your connective tissue, it's in the connective tissue. It's wrapped around your nervous system. It's in your nervous system, and it paralyzes your organs. Irritable bowel syndrome, blue balls, frigidity, palpitations, headaches, all of these problems, they come from the identity wrapping you up tightly inside. So the energy work technique that I teach, but also if we just interact, can cause a state of release, relaxation, and the dissolution of the tight winding of the identity. And when the tight windings inside you open up, your circulation increases, your nervous flow improves, and you start feeling your feet on the ground, your connection to yourself, your connection to others, and your connection to heaven and earth, and the environment, and the environment, and the environment. Oh, sorry, my script got stuck on the screen. They will be re-established. Basically, it's going back to the state that you were when you was a baby before your parents messed you up, which was in the womb. Sorry, it's hard work getting unmessed. Anyway, so questions. I'll take a quick look at the questions. Obviously not a lot of time here. No new questions, and there's no new questions. Right, so I'll take a quick look at the chat.
There are some open questions, Dave.
I love it. Right, what's that, Roma?
There are some open questions. So there is like, how should a person with autoimmune disorder, which typically occurs due to chronic stress fatigue, be able to find stress release in their daily lives? That's a good question.
I'm not very familiar with that, although there are some participants in my group who've been in for about 12 years who came with CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, and impotence, and all kinds of sexual problems. And now he's married and he's having good sex, and he's here today with his wife. She's caressing his arm. And he writes about it, so I'm not like disclosing anything that I shouldn't disclose. He actually talks about his everything. All right, any other questions? I didn't see any other questions.
There's another question. There are many more questions. I'll ask them for you. Is enlightenment constant once attained, or does it?
Yeah, I answered that one. Enlightenment is permanent. Once you get in the club, you're in forever.
And I was thinking of, Kevin was asking a question that he was adding daily mantras to his daily life. Yeah, he's chanting. And he says, my daily practice varies as I sense my mood and I know what I need. Is that a way to go? There's no clear question in it, but he's asking...
It sounds like a nice lifestyle. I don't know if it'll get you enlightened, Kevin. Come and see me. I'll sort you out. All right, Kevin. All right. Come to the after party. Any other questions?
And maybe you want to do a main room question that people get on the screen, and then they can ask directly.
Am I going to run out of time?
You've got 10 more minutes. I think my announcement.
Well, if someone wants to interact with me, I'm very happy for it.
Okay.
So just let the host know, or just
have 8 more minutes. And if you have a question.
Look, Galaxy A70, she's been smiling very nicely. You've been smiling very nicely. She would like to ask a question. Do you see Galaxy A70? She's in the panelists. Oh, I didn't turn on my original sound. Oh, you've got to turn your microphone on, Galaxy. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I actually wave you because, you know, I felt, you know, happy and I wanted to wave you, really. So I'm first time, so I wanted to say thank you very much for that. And yeah, question, especially in the morning when I wake up, I feel enormous anxiety. And first thing, you know, how can I feel connected first thing in the morning with myself? Is there any like a special, well, techniques, but special thing to do or...
Excellent question. I have the answer prepared earlier when I was cooking. Right. So when you wake up in the morning, what's going to happen is before you wake up, your identity, your ordinary daily identity is not going to be fully in your body. And that is the golden hour that you can start getting your awareness into your body and looking for the trouble sources, where the anxiety is in your body. And you have to go from top to bottom, but you should be trying to keep at least some of the relaxation, at least you found some relaxation during the night, hopefully, in your mind, in your emotions, from your identity, from fears and worries. And then you let that stretch out into your body. It's really good to stretch your body diagonally, like stretch one leg and point the toes and lengthen the body. And if you find any jamming or filling up, you have to breathe into that area, put your awareness there and ask it to unwind. That's my best answer. I mean, it's maybe not easy to do, but you keep practicing it.
Yeah.
You'll start waking up feeling calmer and more relaxed and it will increase over time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's what you get for smiling.
Any more questions for Dave? Just open up your mic and then he'll answer them for you.
Oh, Jonathan's there. Jonathan, you're looking wiser than ever.
I have a question.
Yes, hi, Dave.
I'm just wondering why you didn't give like a really clear, articulate talk during this hour.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe people can tell me what they think. Was it clear or articulate? I felt like I only had so much time to cover a number of subjects and interact with people, shake some stuff up, get people to reflect on what's happening for them and in their world and their relationship with me. I felt like, you know, 50 minutes to introduce myself and make something happen with you and make something happen with a very diverse group of people. I mean, the people are here for very different reasons. And I want to meet all of your needs. I do want to meet them all, but you know, most of you you're mute. You know, I can't hear you. You can't interact with me. That's why I invite you to the after party. It's going to be for 50 minutes immediately after this. So you can all come back to the conference after my after party in my Zoom room. Thanks, Heidi.
David, you said you came from the East End.
Yes, Kevin.
How come you've ended up...
Were we going to talk postcodes?
No, I wondered how you ended up in Finland.
I took the plane. You can't take it now because of COVID. Now, I was invited here. Finns came to London and they invited me to come to Finland. I mean, it's a long story. And I said, no, someone's given me the idea that I shouldn't move anywhere. I just, you know, I'm not traveling. But then a guy invited me to America. He was the yoga teacher of Madonna, Sting and Trudy Styler. Okay, name dropping now. And I said to him, I'm not coming either. And then I happened to see him. He was supposed to be in Australia. And I saw him by chance whizzing past Madame Sussauds really fast on his mountain bike. And I didn't even know who he was. And I said, oi, you, do I know you? And he jumped off his bike. And I said, I've been thinking about emailing you. I thought you was in Australia. Why do you want me to go to America? And he said, to meet my friends. I said, all right, that's a good enough reason. I'm coming. Yeah. Because it's all about personal contact. If he'd have said to me, I want to make you famous and all that stuff, I would have said, no, I'm not coming. Right. Anything else?
If there's nothing more, Dave, I would like to propose that I'll do the closing word and then I'll give you the last word before we close.
Excellent, Roma. Thank you very much.
Okay, then I'll open my camera. Okay, so thank you for being here today. I would like to end this session and I'll give the last word back to Dave. Well, I would like to thank our sponsor, Rafe Kelly, for sponsoring our channel and making talks like this work. Thank you, Dave, for being here. We've had a very good conversation. I think we just barely touched the topics, as you can hear. Most of the questions are answered, but people want to know more. I would like to say that you can rewatch any session on this channel on the Tech Martial and Healing Arts Facebook page. Have a look there. We also have a next session coming up by Richmond Heath. He's a psychotherapist and a TRE tree practitioner, and he's from Australia. Check him out. Next to that, I would like to say that, you know, if you want to have a lifelong subscription to all the data that we have, all the presenters, all the sessions, you have a 50% discount till the end of the conference. Yes, we also have a coffee room available. So if you're not joining Dave's private session, you can also go to the coffee room that we have at the conference to have an after chat. Yes, there are also some free resources available on our website. Don't forget to download them, because there's a free ebook by Mark Walsh as well, and some other speakers have offered as well. Have a look. We have really cool stuff there. Now I would like to hand over the last closing words back to you, Dave. Oh, you're muted.
Famous last words, I guess. Nothing at all. Well, I invite people to get in contact with me. People use the word that I'm very accessible. It's true. I got enlightened 20 years ago. I commune with people every day since then. I used to be in psychology and therapy and a psychiatric hospital. Not really. And the thing is that, as someone here said to me, who's a very knowledgeable academic researcher, they said to me, what you're bringing, enlightenment transmission, therapy and politics, they won't ever give us enough to save the human race. We have to have something else. And that really is, I would call enlightenment transmission, the deepest healing intelligence that we're all in contact with. And I won't rest and I won't be happy unless you have it. Okay, because it's yours, it's your birthright. You were separated from it at birth. So that's all I'm here for. That's all I've been doing for 20 years, and I'm going to keep doing that. I live in a forest in Finland. I just walk with my dog every day, and I don't normally have contact with people. And I thought, you know what, the world's going to die, but I'd be fine here in the forest. And then I thought, no, I won't be. I better come to the conference. And someone can post my website down the bottom. Maybe on the homepage of my website is also the link to my after party meeting. I don't know. It might be there now. I'm not sure.
Yes, there have been posts about your session after this meeting.
Excellent.
So with that coming to a natural end, I would like to say thank you. And you're welcome to join Dave's session, the after party, I would say. And thank you for being here. Thank you.